On this tape, Alfred Erickson recalls his parents' arrival at Hog Meadows from Minnesota and the early homesteaders in the area. He describes their first home, the Janesville post office's moves, the naming of Hog Meadows, hardships in the early years in killing a bear, his two sisters, Lena Erickson Justice and May Erickson Lamar, mention some of their experiences helping around the home and farm and flunking at the logging camps.
My folks come from Minnesota in the year of 1892. And they come out because my mother had sent out money to her nephew to buy this place, which belonged to a fella by the name of Kahn. I don't remember his first name. Because Kahn was a Civil War veteran and he didn't care to stay back there in that snow belt, you know, and he wanted to get out of there. So he said he wanted to sell. Well, anyway, John Berg, my mother's nephew, had a place right beside the Hog Meadows, on the east side of the Hog Meadows, John Berg's place. Well, he made the deal. My dad didn't have a cent in that property. It was all my mother's money. And anyway, the old man, he was just about, he was telling about
say, Dad.
that he was about to leave Ma at the station. No, on the train. He was about to jump off of the train after the train got started, coming out west. And Ma had to talk to him and get him kind of cooled down. And so she finally got him cooled down enough to went and sat down in the seat. So that become clear to Troy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, of course, I wasn't born yet. At that time, I was born in 1893. They'd been there a year. And then they had to, the house that I was born in, it was sitting way over on the north side and on the west side, northwest side of the place. And that had, they had a fireplace in the back. I remember that log house. It had a fireplace just like that right over there, only it was made out of rock. And then they had their big room here, you know, this is the big end. And then in between, the next end was the barn. They had a place there big enough for two horses and a couple of cows. Then they had a hay mow right up over. Well, they used this middle place to pile up wood in to keep it, you know, dry. So that was, it was built something like what they had up at Beauvel there, the Warrens built on that meadow up there. It was a building here, you know, log house, and then over here another log house. Then they had the full roof there over the both places, don't you see? So it made it pretty nice. Well, anyway, they only lived there about 3 or 4 years, and they decided they was going to build a house, so they went to work and they built a house, the folks. That is, my dad got help, you know. And then they built the house, and after the house was built, then we moved down there. Well, the place up where I was born, that set there till that practically rotted down. Well, the old man tore the barn down because that stuck right out in the field. And we had a field right up on that side of the hill there. And so he tore that down so he'd make a bigger field, just about where the pipe plant is there. Remember we used to have the white pipe plants?
Yeah.
God, we used to go to some wonderful pie plants there, that room where, you know. Well, anyway, there was a lot of work there. There was no fence. Con didn't have no cattle, didn't have no horses. So he just let the sheep men run over his place, and they didn't give him nothing, but he didn't care. And he was there, he figured on staying there till he prove up, but then he got disgusted and thought he would just sell out and get $500. That's what the folks put up, and that was too much money.
How them many day. Acres was that they got?
136 acres. There was a fraction in that place there. So that's what my dad was. He was awfully disappointed, awfully disappointed. Well, I couldn't blame him going into a wood country like that there, just timber, you know, and hard winters. You had to go out putting here every day or you would be snowed in. Trump Road. Well, anyway, finally got a fence made around the place there, and then he got to plowing up a little of the meadow and put it into Timothy, clover, and we used to raise some wonderful wild hay there. Gee whiz, it was beautiful wild hay. And then the old man got so that, then he built a big barn. He built a big barn that'll hold about 35, 40 ton of hay. And you know, the hay was always saleable in the wintertime there. You know, a lot of fellows around there, they had a lot of cattle, you know. And so the old man could always sell a bunch of hay there. He never was stuck with it. So he made pretty good on the hay. And then he done a little work on the county road. He worked on that, but you know, in later years it become a state road, don't you know, state highway. That was another pretty good thing. You usually get in about 3 months work in the summertime on the roads, what they call the county roads, built by the county. Well, my dad was the one that helped build the road into Collins, not into Collins, but into the Warren Meadow, Bovell Meadows. Now, the road used to go what they call around by the horse ranch. That goes south of Bovell, and then it goes to the forks of the Potlatch. You know where the forks of the Potlatch is? Well, at the forks of the Potlatch was a family living there by the name of Carlson's. Carlson was the first man to run the post office up there, and he named it Janesville, and that was established as Janesville. Well, he run that post office for several years. It made it further for my folks to go, because it was quite a ways over there to the forks of the Potlatch. So,
was there anything else to Janesville besides that post office?
Well, they didn't have a store there, but I'll get around to that.
Okay.
Then after a couple of years, then the post office was changed to Hog Meadows, to Hainsley. Hainsley owned that main part of the meadow. And he built a nice big house there and had the biggest barn there too. Well, then he decided that he would build on a little store building right next to the house on the Hog Meadows there, Hainsley. Make it look like a store, don't you know? You know how they used to make them fronts on the stores there? Well, he wanted to start in a little grocery store there, which he did, and got the post office. Well, then that was a little money coming in there all the time. And then he put in a few groceries. Well, there were a lot of them on homesteaders around in there. Well, they didn't have so far to go for their groceries, you see. That made it nice. So then Hainsley had that till the time he got ready to sell and sell out. And when it was to be sold out, then Lawrence, G.R. Lawrence, on the other side of Helmer, he wanted to get the Janesville post office. So they moved it from there to Russ Lawrence's place. And then Russ Lawrence built a store too. So he got in a bunch of groceries and he done pretty good in the store business there. And that's the way it went. And the last place that Janesville wound up, well, it wound up with Lawrence's. It was, then they changed post office, and then they put it up at Helmer. There is where they moved the post office, but then it was changed to the name of Helmer. Helmer Post Office. The Janesville was done away with down there at Lawrence's.
So Janesville actually moved three times, twice.
Well, now that's once. It moved over there once.
Mm-hmm.
To Marshall's twice. To Janesville at Lawrence's, it was three times. Three times it moved. So, but I don't remember. Oh, I remember when the old man would drive down there to Janesville there at the Hog Medicine get the mail. I remember that. But outside of that, the people now, that it wouldn't be no use to mention the people living there on these places, would it?
Oh, yeah. You mean like you did in the car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you... I think so. You don't have to tell, you know, all the detail, but just mention the guys that were the first homesteaders in Hog Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what you know about them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Shouldn't you go along as the kids come along, or the folks?
No, that wouldn't be necessary, would it?
What do you mean?
Well, the children we had.
Children that being born.
I was thinking of the homesteaders that actually came there before.
Yeah, but I mean brothers and sisters he has and Alfred.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
But I thought maybe we'd go back to that first and then we should get into the family.
Oh, I see. Okay.
About the people that were living around there that was shopping and getting their mail and that. Janesville and then over at the other place, Helmer, and then Lawrence's, the people that lived around there, that
yeah,
all of the people that homesteaded and come in there at that mm-hmm. time, when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, just around Hog Meadows there. That's
yeah, well, now that the Hog Meadows, I was telling you, is that there was three people living there. There was Hainsley, there was Marshall, and there was Hopkins. There was the three that lived on the Hog Meadows. And John Berg, my cousin, he was on the east end of the meadow. That's like if you come from Helmer up through Hog Meadows, don't you know? Well, you know that's a pretty long, big meadow there. Well, it's right up in that east corner is where my cousin homesteaded, John Berg. Now, I don't think there would be, well, I forgot the name of some of those living way back in the woods. And then the other people that lived right around where we lived there was, well, to begin with, was Jim Kelly. He was on the north end. Jim Kelly. Austin Justice. He was on the north side too, but on the further, on the west. And now, I don't know about the King Meadows. Now, the claim there's a fellow by the name of King that homesteaded down the King Meadows, you know. I don't know if that's true, and I don't know if anybody know anything about that.
How about Acre?
Yeah, Acre. He come in last there, don't you know? He come in there last. Well, there's 1, 2, 3.
Tom Shea,
Tom Shea didn't own no land. He just rented.
Oh, he rented it.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
I thought he owned it.
No. Theodore Fole was the owner.
Oh.
Theodore Fole. And Theodore Fole bought it from Cook. Theodore Fole bought it from Cook. That's the man that owned the Shea Meadows. And Shea was there for about 4, 5, 6 years and rented from Fole. Fole was the owner. And our place was the only place up there that never had a mortgage. And never had a mortgage on our place. All the other places had mortgage except Bert Acree.
Hmm. How about the Brownsons?
Well, Brownson was owned by Brownson there, you know. You remember that fence up there at the Brownson there as you're coming out onto the meadow?
Yes.
Well, that was the line right there of Bronson that homesteaded there, you know. He come clear down to the old man, joining the old man, you know.
Do you know how Hog Meadows got its name?
Yeah. A fellow by the name of Nichols that lived now in, and I see in this book, the Galloway brothers was the ones who bought the biggest herd of hogs in there to root the canvas out of the ground there on that Hog Meadows. But my dad said that a fellow by the name of Nickel, and he lived down on Texas Ridge, he was the fellow that brought the hogs in there. So you see there, that's mixed up too. My dad.
That's how it got its name, because he brought in a big herd of hogs?
Yeah. Yeah, he had, he put 200 or 300 head of hogs up there, you know, and let them summer up there, don't you know, and work on the, my God, you know, that.
I like that canvas.
That canvas grew just like an onion, you know. Oh, God, it grew is that big. And it's pretty good eating stuff. That's the Indians lived on that, you know. They made bread out of that.
They eat the root and
the
fruit too, eh? Was there some kind of a fruit that grew?
Well, they grow like an onion.
No, no fruit.
They had to grow on top, you know, on it. Mm-hmm. Prettiest flower you ever seen, a purple blue. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was sure fine.
We'll have to get out and get some canvas.
I wish that canvas was there. My gosh, I'd go and root out some.
Did you eat that a lot as kids?
No. I've tasted it, but it's
kind of greasy.
Greasy.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a gummy like. It wasn't what you call good to eat. But then, if a person knew how to fix that, the Indian knew how to fix it, how to cook it. They baked it, and they made good bread. They claim.
Would you see Indians up around there when you were young?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Used to camp on our folks' place. Early in the morning, they'd be out there digging canvas. Dad had to chase them off many, many times.
Yeah.
Would you kids go out and play with them at all? Or, you know, go out and see the Indians, or were you not allowed?
Oh yeah, we'd go and see them. We used to go to their place where they had their teepees, and they even offered us something to eat, but we didn't.
I don't remember that. That was before my time, I guess. I got big enough.
No, you were.
No, the only that I remember about Indians, they'd come to our place and get water from our well. They'd have one of these canvas sacks, they'd fill that and get water, and they would go again.
I have a memory, when I was young, I could even remember sitting in an apple box on a table. My grandmother was out milking the cows. She'd come in with two buckets of milk like this, and you could see her dropping from way down the window there, up to the house, and be snow that deep, you know. And then come in, the first thing she'd do is strain some milk and give me a big glass of warm milk to drink. Yeah. I was an orphan.
God, you sure have a lot of good time on you, haven't you? Got two watches.
Yeah. I better loan you one.
Well, that's about all I know to tell about the thing
How
out
about
there.
The Bowville's?
Huh?
Go on to the Bowville, and
yeah, they were pretty famous people.
Cards here.
Starting to go well.
They started a store up there, and
yeah, Bowville, of course, Warren's did not have no store, you know. They didn't even have a post office there. So, of course, Bowville, they were from rich people. They were from high society in England. You know, Mrs. Bowville was related to the King of England? You've seen the picture of it, didn't you?
Well, I guess they were lord. Was he a, what was he, a count or?
Yeah, something.
Remittance man.
Hmm?
I think he was a remittance man.
I should have brought my book along, I guess, for reference about the Bowvilles.
Do you remember them personally very much?
Who?
Do you remember them personally?
The Bowville? Oh, yeah, because we traded there.
You'd go up there and trade?
Oh, yes. We traded there quite a bit.
What kind of store did they have?
Grocery. Some hard, not hardware, but dry goods, such as men's clothing, shoes.
Yardage?
Yeah.
And coffee,
well,
sugar.
Bowville was quite a place at one time too.
Well, sure. After the town,
they even had
after they started the town,
well,
then of course it built up to be a quite a town.
You wouldn't think it now, would you? You been there yet?
But it's god dang dead looking now, don't you know it? Town of Bowville is fright. Well, you can imagine the amount of people that's working there for the Potlatch Lumber Company. You know, there's over 1,200 to 1,500 men there the year around. So you may know that there's quite a payroll around there. But now, God, a man is starved to death there now. Was you in any of the places when you was up there, Bill? Did you go in the taverns? Let's see, there's two taverns in. No, there's three.
You know, several, just two, three. I don't remember.
That's three.
Do you remember the town going in there, or were you out on the homestead most of the time?
Well, we stayed on the homestead there, you know, till, well, when I got old enough, I'd go out and go to work somewhere, you know, too. I even worked in the logging camps. I went into the logging camps a flunky in one time at the age of about, 17, 18 years of age.
Well, let's go back to more when you were kids growing up on the homestead. You know, if you could tell me things about what it was like living there. And how many more sisters and brothers were there?
There was three girls and... No,
two boys.
Four girls.
Four girls and two boys.
Two boys.
I'm the only one left.
Of the boys.
Hmm. Think I'm doing pretty good for an old devil.
You wouldn't have been around this long if you hadn't been a devil.
Yeah.
One thing, the winters were severe. You'd be snowed in the winter, except when you go through and break the road, take a team of horses and break the road through to the main road. Winters were long and severe.
Could you get out to go to school at all in the winter?
Well, our school was interrupted a lot due to weather conditions.
Well, you know, May and Molly both went out and boarded someplace. Sometimes they worked for the board.
Worked for room and board, and that's where I got most of my education and what I got.
I can name the months that I've gone, I guess.
But there's very little schooling we ever got.
How far away was the school?
Well, the 3 miles. They called it 3 miles to that, it was the lower end of the Hog Meadows.
Yeah, but when I started school.
You started at Helmer, didn't you?
I started at Helmer.
That's right.
In May?
4 miles. We started in Deary. I started in Deary.
Deary, yeah.
But we had to rent an apartment and remain away from home.
That was during the First World War when my brother was in the service. It was really tough living, I'm telling you.
It was
that
very
dang right.
They had to wrap their feet with gunny sacks.
That's no joke. Keep I saw the my toes brother do that, my younger yeah. brother especially.
They had to put gunny sacks to keep the toes from freezing off. My God, it was terrible cold.
We didn't do it in Deary, though,
May. No, we didn't do it in Deary, but I've seen that at home.
I've done it at home, though.
Yeah.
Wrap their feet in gunny sacks and pour water on it and let it freeze so they could keep from freezing to death.
Yeah.
Did you really do that?
Yeah.
Sure.
We'd have to go feed the stock. We didn't have any rubber, so we put them outside of our shoes, gunny sacks. And when they wore out underneath, we'd turn them over and use turn them over and put them on the other side.
People think they have it hard nowadays.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you had to go dressed like an Eskimo.
We didn't have things that dress them warm, just Eskimos, that's it.
We didn't have buffalo hides or anything like that.
I should say not. Money was hard to get. Taxes always had to be paid and always had to have feed for our stock. Keep that was the two things that you had to do.
It's one.
Yeah.
What year was that, May, when we had to, when he was in the service?
That'd be in 1918. 1917.
We run out of hay. We had quite a few head of cattle, and Emil, that's our brother. He bought some hay from up at Shea Meadows there from Pete Asphalt. Mm-hmm. $36 a ton?
It seemed
like that's what it was at that
time. Was it $30 a ton? Let's see what the... Oh, it was terrific.
Anyway, we had an awful time getting that hay home. It was breaking in the spring, you know, the horses go through and when it starts to rain and the snow was kind of crusty. We had
no... Underneath the water would be running and then the horses would break through this snow.
Was that a particularly hard winter?
Yeah, I think it was, really.
It was quite.
We had an awful lot of snow.
A lot of snow.
Yeah, there's some time the winters was not so hard, and then other times the God Almighty it is. No,
I think we measured it on the flat. Wasn't it that the year? It was way up. It was higher in my head, anyway. We dug clear down to the ground just to see how deep it was.
We had a lot of snow.
So our stock come out kind of thin in the spring.
Yes, they did.
Well, let's go up and listen to Albert's cooking.
Well, you're not through yet.
No, wait a minute. We've got to finish this and then...
You haven't told the story about the children. And
about what?
About us kids.
I don't see anything new about it.
Oh, it's old. Sure. That's why it's interesting.
She wants to know about that. That's the part she comes
to. All you have to know is the number, I guess, and that would be all. There's just six of us children in the family.
What happened to them?
Three of us.
Well, also, just what it was like, how your parents got by, what kind of things you kids had to do to help out. on the homestead?
Why, sure.
You know, chores that you had to do?
Sure, sure.
Well, tell about it. Tell about how you had to help out.
Well, God, in the morning, yeah, in the wintertime, well, you had to get out and feed.
Yeah, and how many of you done this?
Well, I and Emil, when he got big enough, I and Emil and the old man would all go out there. And then we'd have to cut wood. Jiminy Christmas, you know, you had to go cut. We had two stoves a-going, usually the cook stove and the heater. And you're using an awful lot of wood in a country like that.
And the water that we carry from our well.
Yeah, we didn't have. We had a well about.
We had the water in the pail. We'd bring in like the night before. It would freeze overnight in the water buckets, right in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's how cold it was.
And you could hear those balsam trees a popping out there, snapping and a popping. You know it was cold when they start to snap.
Balsam will do that. It bursts, I guess, when it gets
somebody
to a certain temperature.
Somebody was traveling with a wagon within 5 miles. You could hear grit, grit, grit,
grit, grit. Little sled.
But you could hear the cattle when they'd be walking, when they'd be feeding. Yeah. You know, at night, you could hear when they'd walk on that snow.
Yeah,
it just makes that funny noise. It'd be so cold. It'd make the snow powdery.
And what was the girls doing then when you were doing this now? Who?
Well, you know, they were pretty small, you know. May was a baby. Molly.
Well, anyway, then the oldest one, tell about the oldest one, and then the next oldest, and the girls, and what.
Well, you know, my oldest sister, she worked out quite a bit. So, Dad left. Molly, with quite a bit of work. May was the baby, of course, but as she grew up, you know, she was quite a bit of help there. They really were good help there in the kitchen.
I was better out in the field, though. I'd rather work outside.
Yeah.
What kind of work would you do outside then?
Pitching hay.
Oh, yeah, we'd help in May. Oh, yes, I've done that. We've loaded when we were during the war. I used to load hay, and you kids would pitch it on for me.
Yeah, May would be up there loading. One time she went overboard between the horses. Remember that, May? Yeah,
I stepped out too far.
Haven't you been?
Good thing they were in old steady.
Haven't you been born on a farm?
No.
Never?
No.
Oh, well, then you don't know nothing about it. But then, God, you sure, in your time, you must have seen a lot of those kids on the farm working.
Oh, yeah. They don't work now the way they used to.
No.
Some things are the same, but a lot, so much has changed.
Well, I know.
Mostly machinery and all that stuff.
Tell about how many livestock you had and the sheep you had to run.
Well, we run about
20.
We used to have about 20 head of cattle, 20 and 25 head of cattle, and about 15, 20 head of sheep, two or three hogs, and probably a couple of dozen chickens. That's what we used to have, about two dozen.
Yeah, I imagine. But I think we had more cattle than that, though. It seemed like we were.
Well, we did at one time up to about 30 head.
50, I think.
About the time when you sold them off. Remember, you decided to quit the cattle business. You had built it up to about 50 head.
Uh-huh.
We had a pretty good blood of stock.
How many horses did you have to work with?
Well, we only had two.
Then you had got another cayuse.
Yeah.
Yeah,
would you run those cattle? That's a lot of cattle.
Well, God, we had that whole territory up there. Those neighbors now, there is three, four neighbors didn't have any cattle, don't you see? Well, our cattle could run on their ground, don't you see? We could have run, if we could have raised enough hay, we would run a lot more cattle in there, but then we just had to go according to what hay we could harvest. So, it wasn't a good paying proposition because it cost too much.
What cost too much?
Well, if you had to buy hay and haul it in there, it really cost quite a bit. So we couldn't see any profit much in it.
couldn't raise enough on the hay you had there to make it worthwhile.
That's it.
It wasn't enough acreage, you see, it was in timber,
limited them to their income.
Yeah. You see, there was only about, well, there wasn't quite 40 acres of farmland. You've been up there.
Yeah,
myself. Well, it's only about 40 acres. Wasn't 40 acres hardly of farmland.
Where would you sell the cattle?
Why, buyers had come in there. Buyers coming in from Moscow, Pullman, and other places. Come in and to buy up fat cattle. And then we butchered a lot. And sold the meat to the companies, the lumber companies.
Did you do the same with the sheep? Did they just run loose?
Or did they just run loose? Yeah, nothing ever bothers them. Oh, a coyote once in a while would kill one. But then that was to be expected, you know.
They just took that as a natural loss.
Yeah.
A bear or something like that would get in there and they'd kind of make a killing once in a while.
And we'd shear the sheep in the spring and sell the wool to a local merchant. We'd have several sacks of wool. I remember sheep shearing time very well. I remember we got that fancy machine shearing sheep.
Yeah.
Alfred, he had been down to Hooper and he learned how to shear the sheep with a machine. So he decided to buy one, so we had to run this little crank, you know.
It made it.
Oh, that
a
was a pretty goddamn good little shearing machine.
Sure, yeah, it was. He just set the sheep up and he'd shear them around there, you know, and we'd be cranking away on that little thing.
But he'd get tired too.
Oh, yeah, we'd have to change.
Yeah, we'd get
it's pretty hard.
On it.
And then, of course, we'd have to take the little scissors and clip her on their ears, eyes, and face.
Your barber deal there.
Yeah. Where we learned barbering. Well,
no, I sheared for other people around.
That machine?
Yeah. I went up and sheared the crane sheep one time. He had about 30 head up there.
Oh,
old Crane, you remember?
Who turned the crank for you then?
Old Crane.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and the boys. Them two boys there, you know.
What kind of machine was that? Was it a lot better than
Well, it was. I got it sent to Chicago. And. I don't remember what it was.
It seemed like it was $12 and something.
Oh, it must have been more than that. It was a pretty goddamn good machine.
Looks like the 12
sticks in my... I got an old Sears and Roebuck cattle out down there. It shows them in it.
Mm-hmm. I bet it does have it in it.
Oh, yeah. If you got the old time...
I think they were about $12.
It had little clippers on it. Looked like hand clippers that you'd use for cutting hair, you know, at home, like children's hair or your husband's or anybody's. And it worked somewhat on that order.
Yeah.
I remember,
it
right?
The chain inside of a little tube.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just had that.
It had a little had the elbows on it.
I can show you one down there in the catalog.
A flexible shaft, remember? Alfred, you're talking about.
Well, it's on the same principle as... There's clippers that they use on humans, you know, the barbers use.
That's what I say, it's about the same.
Just about the same. That knife goes just like that.
There weren't many people around that ran sheep, were there?
No, there wasn't. Well, most all of those ranchers up there, they had a few sheep always. Because they were pretty handy, you know, whenever you wanted to kill a mutton, well, you could go out and you wouldn't have too much meat on hand, don't you know? Go out and kill a sheep whenever you needed meat. So that was all right.
Did you ever get a deer once in a while?
Yeah. Yeah. Emil was the best hunter. I never could get an elk. I killed a bear one time and I killed a deer. Emil was a goddamn good hunter. He could get the deer and the elk. And I couldn't get an elk to save my soul.
He was like an Indian. He knew the tricks.
Yeah.
And he used to trap, too. That's my youngest brother. He used to trap weasels and marten and coyote in the winter, you know, for extra money. And he knew how to prepare the pelts, and he'd send them in to St. Louis, I think. Taylor Hyde and Fur Company was it in St. Louis, I remember that. So he'd catch a lot of weasel, and they do have a beautiful pelt. But he always had trap line going in the winter.
Hmm. Would he have to go far? Would he go far
not,
to trap?
Not too far, no. He'd only have...
half a mile sometime? Mile?
About a mile, maybe. He'd go up on, around, not Moose Creek, but Brownson Meadows. Didn't he have some up along that creek, I think? And through the little creeks that flowed through the meadow.
When you killed a bear, did you eat the meat?
No. No. My God, I didn't eat the meat, although I have eaten bear meat, my gosh, but I don't know. I killed the prettiest bear. God, he was fat. He was a yearling.
I can't stand the taste of it. Oof. Sickening.
Tastes like pork.
Yeah.
I taste it.
Oh, it tastes awful good. You got to know how to prepare that stuff. You got to parboil it. After you get it parboiled, then you put it in a roasting pan and put it into the oven and then roast it. Then you really got good meat. It's a fact.
Where did you kill that bear?
Oh, pretty close to where we lived.
Brown bear,
by God, you know, I'd been to town, and I stayed all night in town, to Beauville. So on my way back home, I'd got within, a half a mile of our place. I run on to a bear, and he was feeding along the road. There's brush. It's got these white berries on. You've seen that kind of brush, haven't you? Clusters of that, white berries. And, I got as close to him as far as from here to the wall over there, maybe a little closer. Yeah, I think a little closer than that. He popped out of the brush and into the road. And he faced me. And I thought, well, my God, he looks ugly. And the longer I stood there and looked at him, the worse he was. God, the hair come up, you know, with the wool's up on his, from his shoulders, clear to his head, back of his head. I seen he meant fight. I didn't dare try and get him out of the road. So then there was a little ditch alongside the road, and so I thought, well, I'm going to cross this ditch and go on the other side, on the side of the hill there. It wasn't too far to the road over there where I could go right in, get in on the road and go on up the hill. So I went on and around him. A bear, he watched. He just stood there and watched right along till I was clear out of sight. When I got home, well, I told Emil, I says, by golly, I says, I think we can get a bear this morning. He says, where? And I told him. So I said, let's get the gun and go. So we got the gun, we walked back. And the bear hadn't traveled, I don't think, any longer further. Well, maybe about twice as long as from here to that wall back there. And he was sent to the bend of the road. They took off of the main road, going up over the hill there into our place. So there was a big snag. Oh, this snag was about, 25, 30 feet high. A great big snag that burned off in the fire. And, the tree was gone. Dang, it must have been 3.5 feet through. So you see, it was quite a stump. So I said to my brother, I says, now I says, I tell you what I think we better do. We better sneak down, I says, and stay behind this keep.
Line of the stump.
Yeah. So we walked on down, and I looked, and by golly, I says, oh, by Jiminy, here, he's already went by here. He's up on the hill on the upper side. Well, I says, let's get down to the tree, that stump. So we got down there, and I just stepped around the tree there, and I looked, and I see him, and he jumped up on a windfall. Well, this windfall was about that high off of the ground, a tree about that big through. He jumped up there because it was so brushy. He didn't care to go through it, so he thought, well, I'll jump up on this log and go on to where there'd be a clearing, don't you see? Well, after he got up on the log, and he made two or three, four steps, and then he stopped. I pulled up the old rifle and took aim and let him have it. I knocked him off of the log. And I tell you, that was the most pitiful noise that I ever heard that bear. It sounded like a human being, a dying. By God, it's a fact. It's a.
I bet you'd never shoot another one.
Well, no, I would shoot another one, but they have such a pitiful, when they're dying. It's just pitiful to listen to them, you know. It's just like a human being, you know.
What kind of caliber rifle did you have?
I had a 30-30.
Do they cry, or?
Well, something on the cry. Just like a human crying. It sounds just like a man's voice.
Oh, my goodness.
We couldn't do that.
But so we started to go on up there. He'd already fell off of the log there, you know, and down into the brush. He was just kicking and doing his last kicking when we got to him. By God, that meat was just as pretty and red as anything he ever seen. I skinned him out.
Did you sell the hide then, or what? I don't remember that. No, I
didn't sell the hide. They just let the hide lay around there. Till
oh. Hmm.
Perhaps wouldn't have been much good in the summertime, was it?
No, it wouldn't
have
been.
Oh, yeah, the hide, I think, would have been all right. But I didn't want to fool with it.
A lot of people have them for rugs, but I never cared for that type of thing, but... That used to be popular years, you know, in the early days.
Yeah, we had a big old bear rug at home. It was,
did you?
Yeah, white and kind of gray looking, you know.
Oh.
A great big one, gee, it was a mammoth thing.
Hmm.
When I was a kid.
Did you sort of take care of help support the family at all, being the oldest brother?
Why, yes, we both done that. I and him, we worked out, and what we made off of the place, I had to help. We didn't have any money, just what we got from work and what stock we sold.
And then you worked for the mill down there too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I went down there and fired in a sawmill there one summer.
When you were pretty young?
I was about 16, 17.
Was that down at Bolt?
Huh?
Was that at Potlatch you went?
No, that was down on the Potlatch Creek, all right. A fellow by the name of Hanson had a big mill. So they wanted a fireman, so they gave me a job of firing there. Oh, I've done other work in the mill. I've rode carriage. You know how they used to ride the carriage?
I've been in the timber too.
Have you?
Yeah, you bet.
In the sawmill?
Yeah, in the sawmill.
Yeah, they had two men there, you know, on the carriage.
Sawyer and the BC Spruce Mill. They used to cut all trees and cut them. Three big camps up there, 225 in camp one, camp two had about 250, no, let's see, camp two had Uh-huh. Yeah, about 215 and about 200 in Camp 3.
Uh-huh.
Did your father end up, did he always dislike living there? I got the feeling that he didn't, if he'd had his way, he wouldn't have come out west. Did he,
Well, you know, the old man, I think the longer he stayed there, the more he liked the place. That's the way I figured it. But, you know, something happened to the old man, too. He was taken away. Suppose you heard about that.
No.
Well, you know, after I went into the Army in 1917, the old man, I guess he was figuring on killing somebody. He took the rifle and went to town one time. That was in the year 1918, wasn't it?
That's when the First World War.
Yeah.
Well, there was one or two around there needed killing. I might have done it if I'd been him.
Yeah, by God, there was some of them, by goodness. But they seen what was happening, what was the matter with the old man. They got scared there in Beauvale, you know. Hell, he took, he went and even bought a box of cartridges, I think, too.
What had
it? It's funny that they'd sell him a box of cartridges. Mm-hmm. And then he started filling the magazine and get the, and put one in the,
oh, in
the barrel.
Oh.
And he was ready to go out and kill. So, thank God, the Grove Brothers, there's where the trouble started, was up at the Grove Brothers. And
you didn't get along with the Grove Brothers?
Well, not too good. I don't know. I wasn't there when this happened, and the kids don't know much about...
Well, we wasn't there, don't know much about it, because... He went to town and he didn't show up the next day. I was working on the ridge. I don't remember where you were. Were you home then?
Oh, yes. I wasn't a very big gal. I was only about 11 then.
Yeah, well, anyway, I was working for Mrs. Engel out on the ridge.
Oh, was you, was not at home when the old man?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, I thought
when
you
I
were.
Got home, that's what I found out, because they took me home after we got through. I was supposed to the harvest.
Is that so?
I went there cooking.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he was sent to Orfino, and that's what happened. They committed him.
You know,
and he hadn't actually done anything.
No,
really?
He didn't.
No.
But he, just because they thought he was getting queer or something.
He was kind of unbalanced, I think, but there's a lot of things that enters into that, too. Dad was badly injured when he was just a boy at home in Minnesota. He was kicked for a horse, by a horse, and I saw our uncles, you know, about 27 years ago, 26 years ago, and Dad was unconscious for I don't know how long, and he pulled out of that, and then he was hurt at home when he cut that tree, remember, he laid out there, he was,
I remember that hit him
side. Bad head injury.
What happened that time? What happened to him that time?
He was out sawing that tree down, remember? And Mama said he never came home.
He was chopping gone. The tree down.
Yeah, he was hit by a limb or something from
no,
that?
No, that, you see, sometime a tree will burn in a funny way. It'll burn a hole out. And it must be on account of a pitchy limb. And it'll keep burning and on out, and then all you got is a little striffin on the round on the out edge of solid wood, don't you see? Well, here you got this other top hanging up there, and it just hanging there, by goodness. And if you'd shake it, why, that thing would wobble just like that. Well, the old man, he didn't use good judgments, is the only thing I can say. So he started, he was going to cut that gun dang snag down. Well, this hole was way up, 20 feet up from the ground, where that fire had burned out. And Jim, and he cut, you know, and he cut and cut, you know, and the gum dang. Well, that shook that loose part on the top there from that burn.
Oh,
and pretty soon, God dang it, he happened to hit in pretty hard with the axe, and it broke off, and it hit the old man right on top of the head. Well, not exactly. It hit him on the side of the head. And here, pretty soon, I and Ma, we come out of the house, and the old man come, and God, he was, his face was just a mass of blood. God, it was terrible how it... God, he says, I've been unconscious, he says, for an hour. Good, he says, I didn't know, he says, what the dickens hit me, he says. The top of a tree, he says, fell down on me. And the old man had been laying there for quite a while before he come to. And then he come to the house. Well, you see, now that probably had effect on his mind too, you know. He never was same like right after that.
Well, you probably got a pretty fair concussion from that.
Yeah, he must have had.
No, I figured out what happened to me. I got kicked to the horse with both feet.
Is that so? The side of the head or the front?
I was kicked right in the stomach, thrown right over into the other stall.
You
didn't hit me on the head, but I hit my head on the other thing when I landed.
Oh.
No, but Dad was kicked by the horse. You know that. He's told you about it, didn't he?
No, he never told me that.
Casper told us about it. My uncle, that we saw in Minnesota 26 years ago.
I never heard my dad say anything about that.
And he was unconscious for quite a while.
Is that so?
Yes.
The old man never told me that. I know. I remember you telling me about it before, but the old man never did tell me about it.
He had those two severe...
But he said he fell off of the wagon one time when he had a barrel of... He was hauling water from the river. So the boys, they set up front there, and they told my dad to sit back there and hold that barrel, keep it from tipping over. It was kind of rough going, I guess, and he's running and driving the horses fast. Well, anyway, the goddamn barrel tipped over, and the old man fell out of the wagon. And the hind wheel of that wagon run right over the middle of his back. Right straight across. The old man, he said to God dang, he couldn't get up for quite a while. He just about almost broke his back in two.
You know, he did have trouble with his back, too.
You bet he did.
I remember it. I remember it. He used to rub his back a lot of times with Linda when I was a little girl. I remember that so well.
You know?
Time after time.
Well, he had some hard knocks.
He had some hard knocks, is right.
You know, these Clydesdale horses, this is what we had there. This Clydesdale got great big feet like that, and this is the hair. I walked in behind him to walk in to give him smokes, and she just come like that and just threw me right into the other stall right back there, but I don't know how far, and I hit my head on it. It was big, heavy stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
Hit my head on that and come down, and I was sitting this way, and I was trying to get my breath, and I had to roll over like this, and I couldn't get my breath. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, I've seen fellas being kicked by a horse.
But you remember, now there's another story, too, that you can tell about.
What?
When you got bucked off of that horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got your arm broke in three different places.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, what's that one?
Was that the right arm or the left?
The left.
Your left arm.
Yeah.
They had to take him to Troy, miles, that is many, many miles.
And how was this? How did that happen?
Oh, I got on the horse there, and the horse started bucking, and he bucked me off, and by golly, I fell. I don't know how I fell, but I fell and broke my arm. It broke it in one place. No, in two places, I think.
I thought it was just in three.
No, mm-hmm. Not three. Two places. Mm-hmm.
Mistake.
So that was bad shucks. I got over that in a month or so. I was as good as new.
Yeah, but you had to drive. Dad had to take him to Troy, and that's
Dad was the only doctor down there.
That was the closest doctor.
That was the closest doctor.
Why, that was about 13, 14 miles from home.
Yeah.
You had to wait till daylight, didn't you?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Before he could do anything, because he had ether and they didn't have electric lights and gas, I guess.
And they gave you chloroform.
You couldn't use it.
Oh, chloroform, that's what it was.
Yeah. The doctor gave you chloroform, didn't he?
Yeah.
Put you to sleep and set your arm.
He come home with his...
Well, I'm glad I didn't break my neck.
There was one of those Indian ponies, and she was awful tricky, you know. She
so
tried
you're
to
the
butt
baby,
me too.
Huh?
Yeah.
You're still a baby.
You're pretty old. I got one from got me a whip and whipped it. You take the driver and run her up and down the hill, and she's pretty tame after got through it.
Did you ride a lot as a kid?
Yeah. Oh, I used to get ride standing up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Shoulder.
I'd like to have been in the circus.
Climbing trees, she was a tomboy. And I was, you see, I'm about 6 years younger, so I missed out on that. I was too young to do this, go that, go do this and that and the other thing.
Go home.
Yeah, I don't want you. You stay home. You're too little.
then when they wandered, they'd say, come, baby, come, baby, come, baby.
Yep.
Yeah, the way it was.
Well, did you have quite a crowd here?
Honey?
Hmm?
Did you have quite a crowd?
When? You were here last when I had the crowd. The minister thought I was. No.
Now that we've said what I wanted to take, it's working. What was that trip like back to Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, it was a fine trip. Jimmy rode on the train, got to see the engines. Well, it was different, you know. Ma, she made a big lunch, enough to last us till we got there. But then, let me see, what kind of a coffee pot? She had a coffee pot, and she had to get some coffee. And, well, I think she had some coffee ground along. So they used to have these stoves in there, you know, in the coaches. You remember those stoves? No, they didn't have them now. But anyway, they had those stoves. You could go over there, you know, and put the coffee pot on there, and you got cold water there, you know, and you could make some coffee. And oh, we had pretty good, shucks. We more made up a lot of sandwiches, cookies, some donuts. And, of course, I didn't drink much coffee them days, but Ma, she wanted her coffee, you know. Okay. Well, the conductor says, why help yourself? There's a stove. He says, you can make all the coffee you want. So Ma, I went into the dining room on there, you know, where they have the dining rooms. I don't know what she went in to get that time. But you come back with something. I forget what in the dickens it was. But Jiminy, we was on the road there for about 4 days.